praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight, and the Lord bless those that's made an effort to come out. And I won't try and be too long tonight, but just want to share some things, and I know you know these things. I'm just remembering this. Praise God, the destiny of a Christian at death. Let us turn, and I've mentioned the scripture a few times, but I haven't read it, but I'm going to read it tonight. Matthew 27, and then I'm going to read from Acts after that as well. But let's read Matthew 27, verse 50 to 53 of Matthew 27. And praise the Lord. Matthew 27, verse 50 to 53. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Praise the Lord. Let us bow our heads again tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that your word is the truth. We know that your word says ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lord, we just come before you tonight, the truth. We pray that you'll wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Sanctify us even in this room tonight. We plead your blood in this building. We ask for the Holy Spirit to come into this room and into this building and into our lives and hearts afresh, to move us, to speak to us, to woo over us, Lord, and woo over our children. We claim all our children, sons, daughters, aunts, uncles, husbands, wives. We ask that every one of them will be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us, everyone, to be in the center of your will. Lord, as we yield ourselves to you, body, soul, and spirit, we ask that the Holy Ghost will fill every fiber of our being. And Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I need your help, but I thank you it's available. And I pray you'll have your way. And for all that's been praying for tonight, all those are sick, we do say amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, touch them. In Jesus' precious name. And Lord, for George, for Winifred, for others tonight that can't be here, the sisters working and maybe others sick, touch them and bless them. And Lord, for the backslidden tonight, stir them and move them. Draw them back to yourself in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, for those that are here, bless us from your word. Help us when we come to pray to seek your face tonight. Bring a spirit of intercessory upon us. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think that's a wonderful portion of scripture, and I've already mentioned in other messages that before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, spirits was consigned to the place which was known as Abraham's bosom, paradise. But you know, once the full atonement was paid for, if we've read here, when Jesus said it's finished, when he rose, those Old Testament saints that slept arose with him. And it says they saw them. Many of them were spotted. Amen. On this, and the spirits of the righteous, verse 53, and it came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. People saw them, they rose. Now, I don't know how recent it had been, whether I would have knew them or not, I don't know. But I'm telling you one thing, it happened. And that place which they were held in, Abraham's bosom, they were no longer held in it. And that's like where Job said, I'll see him in the last days. Though the skin worms eat this flesh, I'll see God. And we saw last week in the service past where the body that goes into the grave and it goes back to it, and the 16 elements make up your body. And William Branham talks about them a lot in different places. how that God made us from the dust and them 16 different elements that made the body and they go back into the grave. But yet withal, there's going to be resurrection. Now in Acts 7, and I want to look at this tonight, at the stone of Stephen. Now I want you to think now, this is no longer before the cross, this is after the cross. So after the cross, nobody's going to Abraham's bosom. There's no such place no more that you're going to go into. And we're not Roman Catholics. We don't believe in limbo land or some in between. It's heaven or hell. And that's it. It's heaven or hell. And this portion in Acts, and you could read through all Acts 7, but let's pick up the reading at verse 56. And this is Stephen. And Stephen has preached to them. And I tell you, they didn't come and pat him on the back and say that was a great sermon. They stoned him to death. That's how they reacted to Stephen's preaching. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Verse 56 of Acts 7. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So Stephen saw right into heaven. God let him see right into the very heaven. And Jesus at the right hand of God in heaven. Then if you keep following on, the account closes as follows. Verse 59 and 60. And they stoned Stephen while he was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now I emphasized the last night about the soul and the spirit, and we're made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And Stephen's body would have been laying there dead when they stoned him, but his spirit went up into be with the Lord. Verse 60, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, but his spirit went up to be with the Lord in heaven. Amen. Now, a lot of people quote Paul and they say, but Paul couldn't go see Jesus and he couldn't go to heaven. And I've heard people quoting that, but they're misquoting it. Because when Paul had his experience, he wasn't dead. Remember, when Paul had his experience, Paul wasn't dead. Paul says, a known man, whether in the body or out of it, was caught up till the third heaven. But I tell you, when you're dying, you're spirit can go to heaven, and that's where it's going. It's going to heaven, and the Bible proves that it goes to heaven. Now, just before Stephen was granted this vision of Christ and the glory of the right hand of God in his prayer, Lord Jesus, he says, receive my spirit. This is what he prayed, receive my spirit. He didn't say receive his body. His body was going down, they were stoning him. But he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And this gives us the assurance that immediately upon the death of his body, his spirit ascended into the heaven, into the very presence of God. It didn't go in somewhere floating about, but it went into the very presence of God. And this we can also see with Paul the Apostle's account of death, what he says about it as well. We can see that your spirit goes to be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 and 8. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are confident, verse 8. We are also confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now here's two things here in this scripture that Paul's applying. Paul was saying, while the spirit of the believer remains within the body, while the spirit's in them, it cannot be in the immediate presence of God. Now, I'm not taking away. God can give you an experience and a vision. And Paul said, whether in the body or out of it, we know that. That's an exceptional. But I'm talking about when we die. If we don't go in the rapture, and we saw last week at tried to share as well, every person's body maybe won't go to the grave. Because if the rapture actually takes place, they're catching up, your body won't physically go to the grave. But yet God will change it. Because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. So your body and my body is going to be changed. And God will do that bit. Now, he'll take you the way you are. You'll just go, but God will change you. And that's what God's going to do. So you see, it cannot be in the presence of God while it's in the body. There has to be a change. Now, having said that, like I've already mentioned, the rapture takes place. God's taking a new body, soul, spirit, the whole lot. How many understands what I'm saying here? So you see, you can go to the grave. Your body, if you passed on the night, your heart stopped, the clay, this suitcase we're in, this is all that is a suitcase. You have to work on this every day of the week. It'll give you trouble while we're in it. It's not right. It'll be dropped off. But your soul, your spirit goes to be with the Lord. But yet, if the rapture takes place, all of you goes. God changes you, we know that. But you're going. And God will change the body we're in, but the whole lot's going, body, soul, and spirit. Isn't that amazing? What God will do when the catching up takes place. You see, when God took Enoch, there was nothing left of him. Enoch didn't step out of the body he was in and leave it and step into another body. God took him. Now, do you see what I'm saying? God takes you. He does change you. But yet he takes you. And not only that there, does God take you. You think of the people that's been in the grave for hundreds of years, but they're real believers. They've went back to them things that they were made from to begin with. Them 16 elements. But yet when the rapture or the catching up, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 takes place, their spirit will unite with the body. And the body will come out of that grave. The dust. You think of it, and I never heard nobody else preach these things. Only William Branham's the only man I heard talk like this, where he said when them three angels come down to Abraham, and he starts to explain it, he explains them 16 elements that make up the body. And he said God took a bit of dust and he made a body, and God himself stepped in it. And he appears to Abraham as a man. Then he says God made a body, and one of them angels come in the body. Two of them, and they were down into Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Bible says they were like men. So even though they were angels, God had to do something that they looked like men. And then you hear him referring to Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. It's been two messengers. That's where he got that from. They're two messengers to the last church age, to the nominal church world and the Pentecostal church world. There were two messengers. And Billy Graham was able to go everywhere, wasn't he? Now, people ridiculed him, but they were wrong, really, because God called him to work in that vineyard. You know what I mean? What I'm saying, in that particular field, he worked in. Others couldn't work in it, but he did. And God called him to do it, and he couldn't. That's what he had to do. He couldn't make no difference from that. That was his calling. And look the people that man seen saved. And William Branham said he was the world's greatest evangelist. I believe that myself. Now, as soon as the spirit of believer is released by death from the body, it is directed, it has direct access into the presence of God. As soon as it goes out. And I'm going to say this, you know, when I went to the hospital and Ian, they had Ian there, and they were telling us at a certain time the machine will go off and then that'll be it. But he was already away. They were waiting on a machine, but he was already gone. And I knew he was already gone. The spirit had already went out. Though the machine said whatever it said, he was already gone out. And I tell you, he could have been watching us when we were in the room looking at his body. And you think of that, if you mightn't agree with it, but you think of that man that machine fell on. But he almost died. I think I put the clip of it up. And he came out of his body. He almost went. And he could see them working on him and everything they said he was cut in two. And he could see the whole thing and all the nurses and everything all around him. And he almost went, but God told him, your work's not finished yet. And God let him come back. So it's down to the sovereignty of God, a lot of things, what we can't explain. You could go and pray for a man and he's dying and he's not raised up, and you can question it. You can, I've done it myself. And yet go and pray for another man, and as far as a Christian goes, he's not half the man. And he's raised up. Now, how can you explain that? Not only raised up, and then he doesn't even serve God. He goes away from God. How can you explain that? Well, I can't explain it. But that's just the way it is. It's down to the sovereignty of God. But it's like preaching salvation. You have to preach it all. Healing's the same. But it's down to God at the end of the day. It's God that does it. We can't do it. See, Paul returns the same thought again in Philippians 1, verse 21 to 24. To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, I believe a lot of Christians need a greater revelation than they have when people go. Now, I mean that tonight. Because I know it's a sorrowful time and all them things are natural. But yet with all, if we can have a real revelation of it, we'd be rejoicing. They're in a far better place than what we're in now. That's for definite. And Paul says here, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's an advantage. And it's an advantage when we go. But if we live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. Excuse me. For I am in a strait betwixt having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul was saying he has to continue with the ministry he has, but he'd love to go. That's what Paul's actually saying. He'd love to go to be with the Lord. And I'm telling you, if it come right down to tonight, we'd have a choice. It's easy to say. It's like John said when he shared his own testimony with the visit of the angel. It's easy to say you would go. But if you were put in the spot now and had to leave everything right now, your family, your children, everything right now, you might just go as quick as what you might want to think you'd go. How many understands what I'm saying by that? But yet with all, when the rapture actually takes place, we won't have a choice. We'll be took. It's not a case of us going. People preach and they say, we're getting set for the rapture, and when we do this program, we're going. That's pure nonsense. That will never happen. They can do all the programs they want, they'll still be here. It's God that decides, and you'll be took. And it'll not matter where you want to go or don't want to go, when it takes place, you're going. If you're in that chosen group, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going. And I'm going to say tonight, the evidence of the Holy Spirit's not a doctrine. It's an experience. It's what the Holy Spirit is, an experience. And you can never replace the experience with the doctrinal teaching. It can't happen. It's not scripture. But it's people are saying that. But they're wrong. It's an experience of the Holy Ghost. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful. See, Paul considers these two alternatives. Excuse me. To remain in the flesh, to continue longer in the present life here on earth, in his physical body, to depart with Christ, that is, for his spirit to be released from his body by death. You know, to leave the suitcase to go on. And to go right into the presence of God. You see, the pattern for the resurrection of all men is set by the resurrection of Christ himself. And because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, every single man will rise, even the unsaved. That's a striking thing, isn't it? This has really struck me lately. I have thought a lot about this because I've thought so many people say, I'll go to grave and if I go to hell, I'll go and that's it. But that's not just it. They're going to be resurrected. They're going to have to stand judgment. Even the Christian is going to have to give an account. Did you know that? Now, it's not on the condemnation. You can't be lost when you're born again and saved. It's a different thing. But they still give an account, because the Bible says we will. How many believe that tonight? You imagine when God's give men, different people, gifts and things, and they don't do anything with it, we're going to have to give an account. I'm going to have to give an account. Whatever God's called me to do, that whatever I've done with it, I'm going to have to give an account. That's the truth. And I tell you, it would keep you on your toes, wouldn't it? It should do. But there's a lot of people, and they neglect things. You think of it when the boss comes into work, and if there was nothing done in the day, and he'd want to see what was happening. Now, I'm not preaching works. This is not going to affect your salvation, but it's going to affect the reward. That's the difference. And then there's men that'll get to heaven and all their works is burned with fire. Did you know that? But they're saved. But all the duns come to naught, is burned with fire. And I tell you, I want to walk right before the Lord, don't we? The Spirit, you see, is called in the presence of the Lord, you know, but it's through the resurrection of Christ that changed everything. This changed everything. Whether in the realm of heaven or in hell, the body is raised up by the resurrection from the dead. Spirit and body are thus reunited, and there's your complete personality. They'll have to stand before God and give a full account. There it is. Now, the resurrection, it really, it's like the original body, in the sense, had come out of the earth. In one sense. Let me read you Psalms, what I mean by that. And I want to maybe read you a wee quotation. And most of you probably know it, but we'll read it anyhow. And I won't be long tonight. Psalms 139, verse 13 to 16. And I think this is wonderful. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. So when people talk about a wee baby in the womb, that it's not actually a living person and all that stuff, I tell you, that's pure nonsense. There's a life in there. There's a life in there living. And I believe that tonight. Verse 14. Here, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. God's already working on them. Even before the womb. You're chosen in God. Even before the womb. And you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Thanks, brother. And in thy book all my members were written, which is in continuance, were fashioned when yet there was none of them. You know what a man said to me? He said to me today, and I couldn't really get answer him back when the machine's going and stuff. But the answer just came to me straight away after he said what he said. Do you ever get that? Where the scripture just comes straight to you. And he said, where did language come from? And I said, more or less, you're going to tell me. And I didn't answer him. I let him do the talking. And the monkey, more or less, is what he was saying, you see. And then he was saying, I was telling him after cursing, you see. I was telling him I didn't want to hear no more of it as effing and different language he was using. And he said, sure, how would we know it's bad or not? It's us as people that decide whether it's good or bad. Well, then it came to me, it was Mick and I, you see, we're the ones, we spoke and we talked, and the monkey before, and he done all this here. That there's pure nonsense. But you know what your Bible says? In the beginning, God said. That's who talked. God. That's why spoken word's the original seed. There's it right there. That's where it all comes from. It was God that spake. It was God that said. And we're made in the image of God, so we're going to talk because we're made in the image of God. And there wasn't all the languages until the Tower of Babel. Then God come down and confused them. But there was one language at the start. And then they got confused. And God confused them. And they're confused again, aren't they? Thank God tonight for the truth. Amen. Here David is speaking not about the immortal part of his natural body and his spirit and soul, but about the material part of his natural body, his physical body, which he calls my substance, my frame. That's what David here is calling it in the Bible. And David makes clear how God brought about his physical body into being. The first thing, you know, the material earthly elements out of which David's body was to be formed were specially appointed and prepared. Ever before he knew anything about it, he didn't know anything about it, God had already decided. God knew you were coming. He knew I was coming. God had designed it all. And God appointed the precise number, dimensions, materials, and all the different things that would come together to make me and you. That was God done that. And David's body, long before his body actually came into being, God had already. Now let me read you this wee quotation. I called you a lump of Texas. He's talking in America. It's William Branham. Louisiana dust. He's basically saying you come out of your lump of dust. What you are, mud. You was raised out of the ground out of there, and there you are gone back. You got 16 elements in you, a little moisture and a little petroleum and a little potash and a little calcium and some cosmic light. That's about what you are twisted up together. And there you go, dirt of Louisiana, that's all you are. But remember, something made you this. And the very one that made you this come to live in this with you, that he might make you something different. How we ought to look upon that. Remember, he promised that though this little clot of dirt go back into the clot, you know, and you'll be walking over it or whatever into the ground, around with life in it, when the life leaves, it goes right back to the dirt again. When your life goes out of your physical body, it goes back to the dust again. Now you think of that there when the man's blind and Jesus meets him. And Jesus got clay, rubbed it in his eyes, told him to go and wash and he came seeing. Isn't that right? He gave him the eyesight and he made him. We're made from the dust. And another place he spotted him. Isn't that right? Imagine you called somebody up today to pray for them, you spot in their face. Now you would never do it unless God told you. Wigglesworth done strange things. But a boy questioned him about it, and he told the boys to shut his gob up. He says, I know what God told me. And Wigglesworth was fit to do it, because God must have told him. If he hadn't have told him, he wouldn't have been fit to do it. You can't do it unless God tells you to do it. He kicked a baby one time out into the audience, a dead baby, and somebody caught it and it squealed and came alive. He lifted a man out of a coffin 6 different times and he kept falling back down. He was stone dead. But Wigglesworth knew he was going to live and believed it, and the man did live. That's the power of God. And you think, we think, how could God heal somebody? But yet we're working with Almighty God that made us from clay. That's where the first man come from, the dust. And if God can do that, God can do anything. God can create a limb. God can do anything. And William Branham said one of the last things to happen before the catching up is a ministry will come amongst God's people that limbs will be spoken on. Now, I know it seems a million miles away from it tonight, and it doesn't seem to be much interest in anything, does there? But yet with all that's at the time God can do something. Then you'll know it is God. It's not something a man will work up, sure, but if man could work it up one end, well, you know, it's like I tell the fella, he talked about the rapture process, and we'll get it all set up, and we'll prepare ourselves, and we'll go. I says, well, long do you think it'll take? They'll be working on it in another 100 years if the Lord doesn't do it himself. And if there's another 100 after that, they'll still be working on it. That's nonsense. It has to be God. And it will be God. And no man will have nothing to do with it. Now I believe that we're to make ourselves ready. Certainly, we're to make ourselves ready and the lamp strength and burning. Let me read you this and then I'm going to come to close. We're going to pray. What did it say in the word? I'll raise it up again the last days. I'll raise it up. He promised it after the body has perished, after even the dust has broke out and it goes back to the grass of earth. Yet he said, you can't annihilate nothing. Man can't. There is no annihilation. Man can't annihilate anything. It's only God that can do that. And that's the truth. Man can't do it. And I tell you, that's going to be God's business. Amen. I'm going to read Matthew 10, then we're going to close. We're going to have a prayer. Matthew 10, 30. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. And I just want to bring you them few thoughts tonight, and hopefully you get something out of it. God knows the very hairs in your head. Now, it's a joke. When you look at my hair tonight, and you're not just as bad as me, but I used to have hair. Now, where did that hair go? But it's went somewhere. But there's a day coming again. We'll get it back. That will be a miracle, won't it, brother? It will be a real miracle. I'm going to get it back again. But it went somewhere. It's like I said to a fella one day. I said to him, I sat down in the barber shop the other week. And he said, you did? I says, aye. What the barber says is nothing I can do for you, Tom. I don't cut hair no longer. We only cut it shorter. But you think of it, God's going to change our bodies. Turn back young again. Let's come and pray tonight and let's seek the Lord. And anyone's on the hearts, pray for them. Praise God. And a Brother Andrew Beecham, we're hoping it's going to come before the end of the month. Pray for Brother Andrew coming. That God will stir his own people. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight that the very hairs of our head are numbered. Lord, you said not even a sparrow falls to the ground. But you know about the every little bird, even so many different wee birds, you know every one of them. You know the every number of every hair in our head. And Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight that we are engraved in the very palms of your hands. And Lord, you said, I have good thoughts for you. And Lord, we thank you tonight for that. And we bless you that when Jesus said, it's finished, it was finished. And we thank you, Lord, that the grave couldn't hold him. But he broke the bars asunder and he rose triumphant o'er the foe. And he gave gifts unto men. We thank you, Lord, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. We thank you tonight that your word is the truth. And we thank you that we shall know the truth and the truth will make us free. Lord, I pray you'll stir our hearts tonight, even though there may be few of us in this room. But your promise for one or even two of us meet in your name. You will be in the midst of us and that to bless us. Lord, we ask for your blessing on our lives, on our families, on our sons, daughters, grandsons and granddaughters represented in this room. May you save every single one of them in Jesus' precious name. Lord, keep us on the truth. Keep us in the middle of the road that will not go left or right or follow after some scarecrow, but help us only to preach your word and the truth of your word. Help us, Lord, to have true doctrine and to preach the one true gospel. For we know there's many other gospels which are not a gospel. But we thank you for the true gospel. And Paul preached it, Peter preached it, and we want to preach that same gospel. Lord, keep your hand on each one in this service. Lord, for financial needs, meet every need. For any other need, meet every need, we pray, as we commit it to you tonight, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Just let's continue to seek the Lord tonight.